You have notes in your bulletin. Please take those out. We'll start right away with the first blank. The Psalms are poetic prayers given in the midst of Israel's history. The Psalms are poetic prayers given in the midst of Israel's history. The Psalms were written about Israel's experiences with our great and awesome God. Number two, knowing the historical background of the psalm, that's whatever specific psalm you are reading, knowing the historical background of the psalm helps you appreciate it more and understand it better. Knowing the historical background of the psalm helps you appreciate it more and understanding it better. You can appreciate it. You can be edified. You can grow. You can be blessed if you don't know any of that at all. I want to be clear with that. You read the psalm and you don't know any of the historical background, you're going to get a lot out of it. But knowing the historical background gives you even more. Therefore, reading the books of the Old Testament that come before the Psalms will give you a greater appreciation of them. Reading the books of the Old Testament that come before the Psalms, Genesis, especially 1 and 2 Samuel, 1 and 2 Kings, 1 and 2 Chronicles, these books will give you a greater appreciation of the Psalms. Therefore, number three in your notes, reading the history section of the Old Testament will help you greatly in understanding and appreciating the Psalms. Many of the Psalms tell the story of God's awesome faithfulness to Israel throughout their history. As you read the Psalms, you learn about God's holiness, God's faithfulness, God's great mercy. As you read the Psalms, you read about God's love. The Psalms teach us who God is. This is extremely important. Number four in your notes. In our society, God is constantly being redefined. Do you notice that? In our society, God is constantly being redefined. Who is God? It's up for grabs. It's everybody's opinion. I think God is this way. I think God is this way. And there's 50,000 religions. There's 50,000 different celebrities and politicians and people that want to tell you who God is. It's like this big cafeteria of opinion. Even in the church, some people have a false idea of who God is. The Psalms give us an accurate picture of who God is. Very, very important. King David experienced God. He experienced God's love. He experienced God's mercy. He experienced God's passion. He experienced God's grace. And King David shares with us many beautiful, beautiful psalms. One of my favorites is Psalm 103. Let's look at it. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget none of his benefits, who pardons all your iniquities, who heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from the pit, who crowns you with loving kindness and compassion, who satisfies your years with good things, so that your youth is renewed like the eagle. The Lord performs righteous deeds and judgments for all who are oppressed. He made known his ways to Moses, his acts to the sons of Israel. The Lord is compassionate and gracious, slow to anger, and abounding in loving kindness. This exact phrase is repeated several times in the Old Testament. When God himself is speaking to Moses, he describes himself this way. The Lord is compassionate and gracious, slow to anger, and abounding in loving kindness. Trinity Baptist Church, that is who God is. He will not always strive with us, nor will he keep his anger forever. He has not dealt with us according to our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. For as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is his loving kindness toward those who fear him. Read that outside. Read that looking up in the sky. As high as the heavens are above the earth, that's how great God's love is. As far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our transgressions from us. Just as a father has compassion on his children, so the Lord has compassion on those who fear him, for he himself knows our frame. He is mindful that we are but dust. As for man, his days are like grass. As the flower of the field, so he flourishes. When the wind has passed over, it's no more. And his place acknowledges it no longer. But the loving kindness of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting to those who fear him, and his righteousness to children's children. To those who keep his covenant and remember his precepts to do them, the Lord has established his throne in the heavens, and his sovereignty rules over all. Bless the Lord, all you his hosts, you who serve him doing his will. Bless the Lord, all you works of his, in all places of his dominion. Bless the Lord, O my soul. It is so encouraging. Brothers and sisters, it is so encouraging and so wonderful in the midst of pain and suffering of life. Life is hard. Life is hard. And in the midst of your pain, in the midst of your suffering, in the midst of your trials, you can take time every day and stop and read a psalm. In the midst of your pain, stop. Every day, stop and read a psalm. Psalm 103 is incredible. Look again at verses 8 through 13. The Lord is compassionate and gracious, slow to anger, and abounding in loving kindness. He will not always strive with us, nor will he keep his anger forever. He has not dealt with us according to our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. For as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is his loving kindness toward those who fear him. Wasn't that powerfully demonstrated on the cross? As far as the east is from the west, so far he has removed our transgression from us. Just as a father has compassion on his children, so the Lord has compassion on those who fear him. The book of Psalms is Israel's book of worship, celebrating all that God is and all that God has done. The Psalms glorify God. The Psalms exalt God. The Psalms are our book of worship too. The Psalms are our book of worship too. The Psalms help us declare to God how much we love him. Read a psalm every day, brothers and sisters. Read a psalm every day and let the Psalms bring you into the presence of God. Read the Psalms and let them lift you up out of despair into the majesty and beauty of God. Would you open to Psalm 145? I will extol you, my God, O King, and I will bless your name forever and ever. Every day I will bless you, and I will praise your name forever and ever. Great is the Lord, and highly to be praised, and his greatness is unsearchable. One generation shall praise your works to another, and shall declare your mighty acts. On the glorious splendor of your majesty, and on all your wonderful works I will meditate. Men shall speak of the power of your awesome acts and will tell of your greatness. They shall eagerly utter the memory of your abundant goodness and will shout joyfully of your righteousness. The Lord is gracious and merciful, slow to anger, and great in loving kindness. The Lord is good to all, and his mercies are over all his works. All your works shall give thanks to you, O Lord. And your godly ones shall bless you. They shall speak of the glory of your kingdom and talk of your power to make known to the sons of men your mighty acts and the glory of your majesty of your kingdom. Your kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and your dominion endures throughout all generations. The Lord sustains all who fall and raises up all who are bowed down. The eyes of the Lord look to you, and you give the eyes of all look to you, and you give them their food in due time. You open your hand and satisfy the desire of every living thing. The Lord is righteous in all his ways and kind in all his deeds. The Lord is near to all who call upon him, all who call upon him in truth. He will fulfill the desire of those who fear him. He will also hear their cry and will save them. The Lord keeps all who love him, but all the wicked he will destroy. My mouth will speak the praise of the Lord, and all flesh will bless his holy name forever and ever. Let's praise the Lord together this morning. In your notes, the Psalms help us spend time in loving communion with God. The Psalms help us spend time in loving communion with God. Look with me at Psalm 1, 2, 3. To you I lift up my eyes, O you who are enthroned in the heavens. Behold, as the eyes of servants look to the hand of their master, as the eyes of a maid looks to the hand of her mistress, so our eyes look to the Lord our God, until he is gracious to us. Be gracious to us, O Lord, be gracious to us, for we are greatly filled with contempt. Our soul is greatly filled with the scoffing of those who are at ease, and with the contempt of the proud. As a child looks to their parent, so we look to God. Psalm 131. Would you turn a couple pages over to Psalm 131? O Lord, my heart is not proud, nor my eyes haughty, nor do I involve myself in great matters or in things too difficult for me. Surely I have composed and quieted my soul. Like a weaned child rests against his mother, my soul is like a weaned child within me. O Israel, hope in the Lord from this time forth and forever. Brothers and sisters, it is extremely important in this busy, hectic, chaotic, stressful, painful life that you take time every day and compose and quiet your soul, like a child leaning against its mother, that your soul rests in God.
Read a psalm every day. Stop. Psalm 46 says, "Be still and know that I am God." The psalms are given to us to help us quiet our soul in the presence of our Father. The psalms lead us in worship. The psalms lead us in prayer. Look at Psalm 130, right behind 131. Psalm 130. "Out of the depths I have cried to you, O Lord. Lord, hear my voice. Let your ear be attentive to the voice of my supplications. If you, O Lord, should mark iniquities, O Lord, who could stand? But there is forgiveness with you, that you may be feared. I wait for the Lord. My soul does wait, and in his word do I hope." My soul waits for the Lord more than the watchman for the morning. Indeed, more than the watchman for the morning. O Israel, hope in the Lord, for with the Lord there is loving kindness, and with him is abundant redemption. And he will redeem Israel from all of his iniquities. I can't tell you how many times in my personal quiet time I come to the Psalms. And the prayer of the Psalms is the prayer of my heart. It is exactly where my soul needs to be. It is exactly what I need to be focusing on. It is exactly what my prayer needs to be for the day. Is your life difficult? Is your life hard? Do you feel distant from God? Read the Psalms every day. And make them the prayer of your heart. Who can forget the beautiful Psalm 23? Turn there with me. "The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters." And Trinity Baptist Church, "He restores my soul. He guides me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You have anointed my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and loving kindness will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." In your notes, number 6, Christ died for us so that we could enjoy the blessings of a father-child relationship with God. Christ died for us so that we could enjoy the blessings of a father-child relationship with God. The Psalms beautifully sing the attributes of God and draw us close to him in loving fellowship.
Psalm 84 says, "How lovely is your dwelling place, O Lord of hosts. My soul longs, yes, faints for the courts of the Lord. My heart and flesh sing for joy to the living God. Even the sparrow finds a home and swallow a nest for herself, where she may lay her young at your altars, O Lord of hosts, my King and my God. Blessed are those who dwell in your house, ever singing your praises. Blessed are those whose strength is in you and whose heart are the highways to Zion. As they go through the valley of Baca, they make it a place of springs. The early rain also covers it with pools. They go from strength to strength, each one appears before God in Zion. O Lord God of hosts, hear my prayer. Give ear, O God of Jacob. Behold our shield, O God. Look on the face of your anointed. For a day in your courts is better than 1,000 elsewhere. I would rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than to dwell in the tents of wickedness. For the Lord God is a sun and shield. The Lord bestows favor and honor. No good thing does he withhold from those who walk uprightly. O Lord of hosts, blessed is the one who trusts in you.
In your notes, the Psalms speak to us about the Lord Jesus Christ. Number 7, the Psalms speak to us about the Lord Jesus Christ. You might remember a couple weeks ago when we did Psalms Part 1, Psalms 22 told us, reminded us, brought us to the crucifixion of the Lord Jesus. And we looked at the Lord Jesus' amazing words on the road to Emmaus. When the Lord Jesus had rose from the dead, he was walking with two disciples on the road to Emmaus, and he was having a conversation with them, and he says this in Luke 24, 44. You have that, Tom? Poof. There it is. He says this in Luke 24, 44. Now he, that's Jesus, said to them, these are my words which I spoke to you while I was still with you, that all things which are written about me in the law of Moses and the prophets and the Psalms must be fulfilled. So your question is, where do the Psalms talk about Jesus? Where do the Psalms talk about Jesus? Fortunately, we don't need to guess. We have the New Testament to guide us. Turn with me, please, to Matthew chapter 21. Matthew 21:33, Jesus tells this amazing parable. Matthew 21:33. Listen to another parable. There was a landowner who planted a vineyard and put a wall around it and dug a wine press in it, built a tower, rented it out to vine growers, and went on a journey. When the harvest time approached, he sent his slaves to the vine growers to receive his produce. The vine growers took the slaves and beat one, killed another, and stoned a third. Again, he sent another group of slaves, larger than the first, and they did the same thing to them. But afterward, he sent his son to them, saying, they will respect my son. But when the vine growers saw the son, they said among themselves, this is the heir. Come, let us kill him and seize his inheritance. They took him, threw him out of the vineyard, and killed him. Therefore, when the owner of the vineyard comes, what will he do to those vine growers? They said to him, he will bring those wretches to a wretched end and will rent out the vineyard to other vine growers who will pay him the proceeds at the proper seasons. Jesus said to them, did you never read in the scriptures? And he quotes Psalm 118. The stone which the builders rejected, this became the chief cornerstone. This came about from the Lord, and it is marvelous in our eyes. Psalm 118. Therefore I say to you, the kingdom of God will be taken away from you and given to a people producing the fruit of it. He who falls on this stone will be broken to pieces, but on whoever it falls, it will scatter like dust. Psalm 118 may have been read at the rebuilding of the temple.
in the book of Ezra. Psalm 118 is part of the Hillel. It is the group of psalms read at Passover. But its ultimate fulfillment is the celebration of the Passover Lamb, Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen? Jesus Christ is the stone the builders rejected. Jesus Christ is the stone the builders rejected. You say, how do you know that, Pastor Dave? How do you know that? Because we have the New Testament, Trinity Baptist. Read the whole Bible. Read the whole Bible. Scripture interprets Scripture. Scripture interprets Scripture. The Old Testament helps you understand the New Testament. The New Testament helps you understand the Old Testament. You must read the entire thing. Turn with me to Acts chapter 4. And the Apostle Peter explains everything. Acts 4, verse 8. Then Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, said to them, "Rulers and elders of the people, if we are on trial today for a benefit done to a sick man," Peter had been called in to the religious leaders because they healed someone. He was called in the court, and he was defending himself, and this is his defense. "Rulers and elders of the people, if we're on trial today for a benefit done to a sick man, as to how this man has been made well, let it be known to all of you and to all the people of Israel that by the name of Jesus Christ the Nazarene, whom you crucified, whom God raised from the dead, by this name, this man stands here today before you in good health." He, Jesus, is the stone which was rejected by you, the builders, but which became the chief cornerstone. And there is salvation in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven that has been given among men by which we must be saved. Read the whole Bible. Read the whole Bible. Read it from Genesis to Revelation. There will be things you don't understand. I promise you, if you will read it slowly and carefully and with a humble, trusting heart in the Lord Jesus Christ, the next time you read it, you will understand more. Oh, I get it. And the next time you read it, you will understand more. And the next time you read it, you will understand more, because Scripture interprets Scripture. Turn to Matthew 22. Let's look at another one. Matthew 22:41. Matthew 22:41. Now, while the Pharisees were gathering together, Jesus asked them a question. You remember the Pharisees kept coming to Jesus and bombarding him with questions, trying to trip him up. Question. Finally, Jesus says, "You know what? It's my turn. I'm going to ask you a question. What do you think about the Christ?" This is Jesus talking. "What do you think about the Christ, or the promised Messiah? What do you think about the Christ? Whose son is he?" "Whose son is the Messiah?" says Jesus. They said to him, "The son of David." He said to them, "Then how does David in the Spirit call him the Messiah Lord?" If the Messiah is David's son, how does David call the Messiah Lord? Saying, the Lord said to my Lord, sit at my right hand until I put your enemies beneath your feet. He's quoting Psalm 110. If David then calls him Lord, how is he his son? No one was able to answer him a word, nor did anyone dare from that day on to ask him another question. Jesus is quoting Psalm 110, saying it is about the Messiah. There's a really important scriptural interpretation principle here I want you to get. This is very important scriptural interpretation. If Jesus interprets a passage of scripture a certain way, that's the right interpretation. Psalm 110. Jesus is quoting Psalm 110, saying that it is talking about the Messiah, and he is the Messiah. How do I know that? Let's just check it. Acts chapter 2. Turn to Acts chapter 2. Acts 2:32. Peter is preaching on the wonderful day of Pentecost. He's preaching his sermon. And here is an excerpt. Acts 2:32. This Jesus God raised up again, to which we are all witnesses. Therefore, having been exalted to the right hand of God, and having received from the Father the promise of the Holy Spirit, he has poured forth this which you both see and hear. For it was not David who ascended into heaven. David didn't ascend into heaven, but David says, the Lord said to my Lord, sit at my right hand until I make your enemies a footstool for your feet. Quoting Psalm 110. Therefore, let all the house of Israel know for certain that God has made him, Jesus, both Lord and Christ. Let all the house of Israel know for certain that God has made him both Lord and Christ, this Jesus whom you frozen computer. Fortunately, I've got it right here in my Bible. Whom you crucified. That's it. That's why. Therefore, let all the house of Israel know for certain that God has made him whom you crucified, this Jesus whom you crucified, both Lord and Christ. Peter is quoting Psalm 110, saying it is about the Lord Jesus Christ. Trinity Baptist, read the Psalms every day. Read the Psalms every day. In your notes, read the Psalms and let the Psalms bring you into the presence of God. Read the Psalms and let the Psalms bring you into the presence of God. Number 9. Read the Psalms and let them lift you up out of earth's despair into the majesty and beauty of God. Read the Psalms and let them lift you out of earth's despair into the majesty and beauty of God. And finally, Trinity Baptist, number 10. You should read at least one psalm every day. Read at least one psalm every day.